You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
This week we've been talking about studying the scriptures, living what you learn. Not only learning what you live, but living what you learn. Reading the Bible, beloved, is one thing, but living it is a totally different thing altogether. That's where the real work starts. Not just listening to me reading the scripture in the Bible on air, but me living according to it. Scripture wasn't given for information. It was given for transformation. As we wrap up this week, I want us to talk about the scarce practice of that which we have learned. The sacred and often messy journey from Bible knowledge to Christ-like living. The very rarity of people living according to that which they have learned. That's why we do have Pastor Comfort Anopa Mugwendere joining us on the line to talk to us about just that. Pastor Mugwendere, good afternoon to you once again. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, my brother. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Pastor. How are you?
So far, so good. God has been marvelous to us. I don't know your side.
Indeed, I cannot deny that the least bit. Let's jump right in, Pastor. Today we're talking about living what you learn. How do we avoid becoming spiritually obese, consuming the word, but never exercising it?
Living what you learn. You know, this is one of the most important things that we need to reach, a point we need to reach. How to avoid becoming spiritually obese? It's essential to strike a balance between consuming God's word and applying it in our lives. So some tips I would give on how to avoid to become spiritually obese. We are talking about practice self-control in your spiritual life. Just as you would in your physical health, regularly evaluate your Bible intake and ensure you are not just reading, but also applying. Jesus said, blessed are those who do his will. Not just the hearers only, but those who do it. So in order to do this, there's something we need to do. We need to exercise our faith. Put God's word into practice by serving others, sharing your faith, and living out biblical principles in your daily life. This helps to build spiritual muscle and prevent stagnation. Lastly, seek guidance and support. Surround yourself with people who encourage and support your spiritual growth, and seek guidance from spiritual leaders or mentors when needed. Recognize that spiritual growth is a lifelong journey, and it's okay to seek help and guidance along the way.
So some people might find, after having learned these powerful truths, these powerful life lessons, it's a bit more difficult to practice them. Quite frankly, they don't realize that it might even cost them a lot to practice them. But they don't realize that. I want you to come to us and share with us, in what ways can obedience to Scripture be uncomfortable and even costly?
Powerful. In what ways can obedience to Scripture be uncomfortable and or even costly in our lives, in someone's life? There are a number of reasons that, or there are a number of ways that we can bring out to talk about this. You know, there are challenges of obedience. One of them being countercultural. What do I mean? I mean that following scripture can mean going against societal norms, values, and expectations. So in our day and age, there are norms and expectations that youths are required to live in order to be accommodated in their youths. Women are supposed to dress in a certain way to be acceptable by the society. But now, living the biblical way, you may become distinct, you know, you may become someone who is not fitting into the society, then it becomes a challenge. Now, number two, there is what you call personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice. What do I mean by personal sacrifice? Personal sacrifice. I'm talking about personal sacrifice. We are talking about, you know, obedience may require sacrificing personal desires, interest, or relationships. This is so crucial. We are saying here, as an individual, the Bible may challenge you to live in a certain way. Therefore, sometimes you have to forego a relationship. E.g., the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Then when you understand that, sometimes it pushes you to sacrifice some forbidden relationships. Okay, another thing, persecution and opposition. Standing up for biblical values can lead to persecution, ridicule, or opposition. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says here, for all who live godly shall suffer persecution. Why? Remember the story of Abel and Cain. Because Abel did that which was right, his brother persecuted him. So these are some of the things, how the seeking or how living obediently can be costly. So I talked about number one, I talked about countercultural. You'll be in the world, but not of the world, you know. You'll be living differently. You'll be listening to different music. You'll be dressing differently. You'll be eating differently. That one now becomes countercultural. Number two, I talked about personal sacrifice, whereby you have to sacrifice some of your desires. You have to sacrifice some of your interest. You have to sacrifice some of your relationship. And also, another thing we talked about is what you call persecution or opposition. Because you are standing up for the truth, you can receive, you can be persecuted because of the truth.
So what exactly is the difference between using scripture to prove a point and actually living it to make a difference?
Wow, this is a wonderful question. The difference between using a scripture to prove a point and living it to make a difference. You know, we are talking about when you live, the truth is different than just, you know, than just talking about the scripture to prove a point. Let me summarize it in this way. Number one is that proving a point is just an intellectual exercise. It's just an intellectual exercise, something you can just do intellectually. Number two, you'll be just defending a perspective. So it's something different. Why? Because you are not applying it in your life. It's different because you're applying it in your life. But if you are living to make a difference, it's transformative. You are living to make a difference involves applying biblical teachings in a way that transforms lives, including your own life and other people's life. You know, when you are living to make a difference, it's authentic representation. What are we talking about here? We are saying that it is when scripture is lived out, it authentically represents the heart of God and his teaching, demonstrating the power of faith in action. So in simple terms, the other one is the head and the other one is the heart. So it's heart versus the head. So an intellectual exercise of the truth versus the heart, whereby the heart, there is a transformation. So other one is action versus argument, you know, action versus argument. We have many people who know the truth, but they do not live the truth. Just like the Pharisees, Jesus says, do what they say, but don't look at what they are doing. So this is the difference when we approach that one.
Let's talk about Bible study, Pastor. Sometimes people feel they are obligated and they are guilt-tripped into living according to the gospel. I want you to share with us, how can Bible study become a source of joy and not some kind of guilt trip or obligation?
Thank you so much. You know, in order for Bible study to become, not to become guilty or an obligation, to become a source of joy, there is, you know, what I call the transforming Bible study into a joy experience. We are talking about someone needs to shift perspective, focus on relationship. What am I talking about here? I'm saying view the Bible study as a way to deepen your relationship with God rather than just a duty or obligation. So take it as a way, you know, I'm saying the moment when I'm approaching my Bible, I'm going to somebody I love. I'm going to deepen my relationship with the one whom I love. So it's not just a norm. It's not just something, a duty, but it's time for me to speak with one whom I love. So how do you do that? How do you do that? You know what? You need, brothers and sisters, you need to discover God's character. So as you study, explore God's character, talk about his love, study about the redemption, the story of redemption in scripture, and let that inspire joy and wonder. Nobody, when you study the love of God, how he loves you, how he sacrificed everything for you, how you the plan of salvation unfolds, you will start to understand that, man, it is actually sweeter than honey, as the psalmist says. Another thing, you know, as you do this, my sister and brothers, you need to create a positive environment. You know, positive environment. I'm talking about a choosing a comfortable and conducive setting for Bible study. You know, a free from distractions. You know, you talk about a supportive community. Sometimes you don't have to do it alone. Study with others who share your passion for scripture, encouraging and uplifting one another. Lastly, which is so important, prioritize consistency. We need to be regular, establish a regular Bible study routine, making it a priority in your life. But that regularity must be also flexible. Be flexible and adapt your study approach as needed, allowing for changes in your schedule or interest. And as you do that, these are the simple things. I'm saying, in order for you to find joy, what do you need to do? Now, change your perspective. Look at the Bible study as a time to deepen your relationship, not just intellectual capacity, but relationship. I said also, as you do it, study, invest much on the character of God. Mainly talk about how he sacrificed, the sacrifice of Jesus. Contemplate on how Jesus came and he died for us. Look at Jesus. You know, the Bible says you take the scriptures thinking that you find eternal life. Then Jesus says, these are they that testify of me. Philip found Nathanael and said, Philip, I have found him. We have found him. Nathanael found Philip and said, we have found him. You know what? We have found him whom Moses and the prophets wrote about. So as you study the scripture, try to find Jesus Christ. Try to find Jesus Christ as you meet the Son of Man, as you meet the suffering servant, as you meet the Son of God. Your time of study becomes different. Why? Because by beholding Christ, we become changed. So by beholding Christ, he brings joy, for he is the man of peace, the man of peace, the prince of peace. So what am I saying? For our Bible study to be transformative, we need to change our perspective, that we may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Let's make it personal, Mfundisi, as we conclude our conversation for the week and for today. Let's talk about you as a pastor and a chaplain at the school that you are pastoring. If your students and everyone there, if the teachers and everyone at the school, even in your community, were to follow you around and follow your life just for a week, what would your habits say about your relationship with Scripture?
If people would follow me for a week, there are some things that they will not. Number one, they will not a daily Bible study.
Okay.
Why? Because every day in the morning, I've tried to make it a norm that every day in the morning, around 4 a.m., I must be there in the chapel, studying, having my morning devotion. And also, they will meet a prayer life. I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but they will meet a regular prayer life. Most of my time, they'll find me there in the chapel. It's either I'll be studying, or these days, I'm learning the piano. So it's either I am there, investing myself in the study, and also in the learning of piano. One thing also that they will try to find is the or sharing the scriptures, because one of the things that I'll do on my daily basis is that people always come one after the other. Chaplain, look at this. How can someone live this life? How can someone overcome stress? How can someone overcome, you know, how can someone become consistent in their daily prayer life? How can someone, you know, so these are the things that they would find in my life, or else they would find me singing. I love music. This is something that is so important. They might find me singing.
All right. Okay. 4 a.m. at the chapel. Aye. Yeah, man, I don't wish to be you. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. Really appreciate your time. May God bless you and continue to help you wake up at 4 a.m. to be at the chapel at 4. Aye, not for me. I don't want to be a pastor. Thank you, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day further and a blessed Sabbath tomorrow.
Thank you so much. God bless you. It has been marvelous having with you. May God meet you also as your at your point of need. Allow me to close today with a word of prayer.
Okay, go ahead, Pastor.
Shall we pray? Dear Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us, a time to reflect and to study how we can deepen our relationship with you through the study of your word. Our prayer, Father, is that as the study of your word is a spiritual endeavor, it is our prayer that you pour your Spirit upon us. And Father, as you promised in Isaiah, that you waken us up morning to listen to you. Help us, Father, to develop a time that we can have a time to deepen our relationship with you. Be with my brother as he'll be leading different programs. Bless him abundantly. Meet him also at his point of need. And our listeners, wherever they are, bless them, because our Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.